Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't God good this morning? Amen. You could be seated this morning. We appreciate you today. Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you today. God is worthy. Let me say it again. God is worthy. Hallelujah. Just think about your life. Where would you be had he not come into your life? Had he not made a way for you? Amen. And you know what the amazing thing about that is? Because so often we put that in the context that, you know, of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it's like, well, he loved the world. I get that. He did that for everybody. But let me tell you something today. This is the amazing thing. He did that for you. If you and you alone would have been the only one to ever receive him, he would have still did everything that he did. He would have died on that cross. He would have endured the brutality of the crucifixion. He would have died, taken your sin, your pain, your sickness, your disease. He would have taken all of that to hell. And then he would have overcome death, hell, and the grave. And then he would have rose again on the third day just for you. Just for you. But the amazing thing is while he did it just for me, just for you, he did it for the world. He didn't just pay one person's price. He paid every person's price. Can you say amen? And the amazing thing is he did that with no guarantee that we would ever accept him. He did it so that we would have a chance to accept him, that we would avail ourselves of the opportunity of salvation in our lives. Amen? He is a good God. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to have a good time today. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture, so I hope you brought your Bibles. You brought your Bibles, right? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. And I know some of you go, no, you'll have it on the screen. Please, just because we have it on the screen, don't forget to bring your Bible. Amen. Never show up to battle without your sword. Amen. I heard a guy say one time, he says, you never go to a gunfight riding a bike. I don't know what exactly that means, but I think I understand it. It's like if you're going to show up to fight, then be prepared. Amen. And sometimes coming to church, it's a little bit of a battle, isn't it? Sometimes we have to confront the forces of the enemy and say no. Say, we're going to move on. We are going to step into the very presence of God, and we're going to fellowship with him today. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. What I want to do this morning is I want to remind you of something about our Father in heaven that may, at face value, seem a little insignificant. And when I say that to you, what I want you to understand is that sometimes these kinds of things, the dynamics of God's character, of who he is, what he is, and how he operates, and how he relates to us, sometimes we can become so familiar with them, so familiar with the buzzwords, as it were, of who he is and what he is and how he operates, that sometimes we can lose its impact. We can lose its dynamic, its reality. We can lose sometimes its forcefulness in our lives. And so this morning I want to take this time to remind you of what may come across as a little insignificant, but when you need it, it is an extraordinary, extraordinary revelation. Listen to what I'm saying. Because what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. Listen, the Bible declares to us that his name is El Olam. You say, well, what does that mean? That means he is the everlasting one. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is from everlasting to everlasting. His character, His word, His promises, His kingdom, and all that He stands for never change. He is unceasing. He is trustworthy. He is consistent in all that He does. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? And when everything around us seems like it's falling apart, when everything in our life seems to be going chaotic, when things don't make sense, when things are not coming together as they should, when the things that we have put our trust in, the things that we have hoped would be reliable, when the things of life begin to change in our life, when they seem like they're falling apart, let me say this to you. God is still moving and He is still working on your behalf. God is faithful. Nothing that happens in our lives or in the world will ever surprise Him. Do you know that? God is not up in heaven going, "Oh my gosh, Gabriel, what just happened? How did that happen? How did we lose such control?" He has never lost control. He is not surprised. He is not flipped out. He is not burdened. He is exactly where He has always been, doing exactly what He has always done. His plan is coming to pass. Can you say amen? What was His word to us a few weeks ago? "I will have my way." His will be done. Can you say amen? His word will produce what it was sent to do. Amen. It does not come back void, the Bible says. When you send the word, it will impact that which it was sent to, and it will come back with fruit. God's word never fails to produce. God is never surprised. He's never interrupted. He is never flipped out, and He always accomplishes what He sets out to do. That is why this morning we can count on Him being true to all of the promises that He has ever given us. Amen. I know there are people in this room right now that you have been given promises in your life. You have had God speak to you in times past. There have been moments of your life where God has spoken to you. He's given you a promise, but you have yet to see it, and you're beginning to wonder, "God, are you coming through with your word?" I guarantee you that promise has a maturity date. I promise you that promise will come to pass. God will not fail in His word. Can you say amen? Amen. See, all through the Bible declares to us the faithfulness of God. Listen to these verses. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." In Psalms 119, 89, and 90, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is established in heaven. Your faithfulness is for all generations. You have established the earth, and it is firm." Then in 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful." Why? Because He cannot deny Himself. Even in the midst of our faithlessness, God remains faithful. If God makes a promise, He is going to keep that promise. Can you say amen? So I want you to turn to our text in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord God, your God has chosen you to be His own special treasure. The Lord did not choose you and lavish His love on you because you were larger or greater than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. It was simply because the Lord loves you." You got to love that. "And because He was keeping the oath He had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such amazing power from your slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and constantly loves those who love him and obey his commands. Now, I know that verse, those words, were spoken to the children of Israel. There's no doubt about it. He's talking to Israel. He's communicating to them. But this also gives us today a picture of our Heavenly Father and who he is to us today, because he doesn't change. The same God that he was in those days speaking to Israel, to the children of Israel, and saying, I love you. I didn't choose you because you are the best. I didn't choose you because you are the greatest. I didn't choose you because you were the most talented. I chose you because I loved you. I looked upon you and I said, I love you. I care about you. And then I chose you. And then what I did with amazing power is I rescued you from the slavery of your own sin. And then I brought you into my family. I made you one of my own, and I will keep my covenant with your life and your 1,000 of your generations. Are you hearing me? I will look down and 1,000 generations, I will remain faithful because I chose you. Isn't that powerful? And it says he constantly loves those who love him and obey his commands. What a wonderful picture of our Father in heaven today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9 it says, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. This is something that we need to hang on to, church. Because it's not about the good days. It's not about the days when everything makes sense. It's not about those moments when everything is going right. There's plenty of money. The car's working. The roof isn't leaking. You and the wife are getting along and the kids are obeying. And there's plenty of everything that you need. It's not for those days. But it's in those moments of our life when things don't make sense. It's in those moments when life begins to become chaotic. Things begin to happen for no rhyme or reason. We don't understand it. We don't know what to do. And we even begin to feel things that we never felt before. And it feels like there's a cloud on us, that we can stand in that moment and look through the chaos and see the faithfulness of God. Can you say amen? That we can see that he is still there, that he has not left his post. He is still our God. He is still our Father. He is still filled with grace and mercy and compassion and goodness and kindness. And he intends and he purposes and he is deliberately good to us, even in the midst of our own faithlessness. We could see through that. We could see that through the chaos and see our faithful God. So the question this morning for me, when I think of this, what does it mean for God to be faithful? What does it mean? Well, first of all, it means that he is who he claims to be. In Deuteronomy 32:4, it says, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. He is who he claims to be. He cannot, the Bible says that he cannot lie. There are people that say there's nothing God cannot do. Well, I disagree. He cannot lie. He cannot be evil. He cannot be not good to you. Even in the moments when it seems like things are going haywire because of our own sin, it is not God. You say, why is that? Why is God not mad at me? Why is God not punishing me? Because the Bible declares to us clearly that our punishment was put on Jesus. He is not punishing us. He's not mad at us. He loves us, and he's faithful to us. Can you say amen? He is who he claims to be. He claims to be our Savior. And the Bible tells us that he saves us to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He lives to make intercession for you, and he will save you to the uttermost. What does that mean? It simply means this. There is nothing more needed. He has not left anything undone. He has not said, well, I will do this, but somehow you got to do that. He does not say this to us. He says, I will do this, and I will help you. I will pay the price for you. I will die for you. I will give up my life so that you can have my life. The only thing required is that you would have relationship with me, that you would walk in me and with me. Then he goes on in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? I heard a man preaching the other day, and he said this. He said, he, God, made Jesus sin. That means God the Father treated Jesus as if he had committed every sin ever committed by every person who would ever believe in him. Although, in fact, he committed none of them. Hanging on the cross, he was holy, harmless, and undefiled. Hanging on the cross, he was a spotless lamb. He has never, for a split second, been a sinner. He is holy God hanging on the cross. But in that moment, God the Father treated God the Son as if he lived our lives, and he treats us as if we lived his life. That is amazing. Can you say amen? Jesus carried our sin. He bore our punishment. And we were given his righteousness. Because the faithful love of the Lord never ends, his mercies never cease, his faithfulness is great, and his mercies are new every morning. He claims to be our healer. He heals all our sickness and all our disease. Isaiah 53:5 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. It goes on into the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, Matthew's explaining who Jesus is. And over and over and over again, we see the picture of the risen Savior, of Jesus Christ healing the sick. And then it says, he healed them all. Or it says, he healed every disease and every sickness among them. He even delivered them from demonic oppression and healed them from spiritual disease. Can you say amen? He is our healer. He is our provider. In our greatest need, he will provide. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, we sung it this morning in that last song. It says, he is our shepherd and I shall not want. I shall not be in need. I shall not diminish. I shall not ever lack. Why? Because he is my shepherd. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says this, but God is able to cause all grace to abound towards you so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, would have an abundance for every good work. He is exactly who he declares himself to be. He is our provider. He is our deliverer. In our hour of captivity, he will deliver us and set us free. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Out of them all. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. I've been spending time with this verse, these two verses, in the last several weeks, just meditating on it. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has empowered me. He has gifted me. He has set me into this place to preach the gospel to the poor, to those that are so destitute that they can literally do nothing for themselves. He says, I came, I was empowered, I was set into place to preach the good news to people that could never do anything for themselves. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, those that are crushed by the circumstances of this life, to proclaim liberty to the captive, those that have been taken captive against their will. They have been hijacked. They have been kidnapped. They are prisoners of war. But he is the great rescuer. He comes in and he frees us and pays our ransom and sets us free. And he says, and then I give recovery of sight to the blind. The blind, those that have been blinded by the enemy of this world, the scales that through time he puts on us because of circumstance and situation. God says, I will remove those scales so that you could see the truth as it really is, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who have come into a place of captivity because of their own behavior, because of things that they have done that has handcuffed their lives, that has made them prisoners of their own sin. And he says, I will bring liberty even to those that deserve to be held captive, but I'm going to set them free because I am a God of mercy and grace, and I am faithful to my word, says the Lord. And then he says, and I'm going to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to herald the truth that you can be healed and that you can be delivered and that you can be set free, and I will be your God and you will be my people, and I will remain faithful for 1,000 generations, and then when the 1,000th one is born, I will look at him and say, I will be faithful for another 1,000 generations, and it will continue on until it goes into eternity, because that is who our God is. Can you say amen? I told my wife before we started, I said, I'm going to change my style. And she said, what does that mean? I said, I'm going to kind of be a little more teachy today than preachy. And then I turned and looked at her and I said, I can't. I just got to be me. And so I got to be me. It's going to preach. It's good stuff. Can you say amen? The Bible goes on and it says that he is Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is who he says he is. Can you say amen? It also means that every word he speaks is true. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Aren't you glad? You know, there's so many people in this world that change their mind. So many people. A friend of mine, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they told me that they had been looking for a new job and that they had gotten on this website and were list all these jobs, and they found one, and they applied for the job, and the person hiring called them and said, you are perfect for the job. And I mean, they were going to pay them just an extreme amount of money, and it was literally like the job was too good to be true, and they were saying, you are perfect. You basically, all I got to do is we just got to go through the formality of the application. You've got the job. Far as I'm concerned, it's good. You know, I mean, it's literally like you get to work from home. How about this? We just call you an employee and we send you a check and you just live life. I mean, it's this, that good. And they were like, oh my gosh, they called me up and said, man, can you believe this? This is so good. This is so, it fits everything. It helps me. It's all this. And they said, I've already got the job, and we're just rejoicing and praising God. And about 3 days later, they get an email. And the email says, we've decided to go a different direction. We found somebody more qualified. Aren't you glad that God's not like that? Aren't you glad that God doesn't, you know, give you this hype and go, man, I'm going to be all this for you, and I'm going to do all this for you, and you're going to get to go to heaven, and you're going to, you know, I'm going to deliver you and set you free from the power of the devil, and I'm going to heal you and provide for you and all of that. And then all of a sudden, there's a spiritual email that shows up and says, well, you know, I've changed my mind. Aren't you thankful That you can be perfectly, listen to the words, you can be perfectly sure that he will never change his mind. God, so God, that goes on, it says, so God has given us both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can take new courage, for we can hold on to his promise with confidence. This confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls that leads us through the curtain of heaven into God's inner sanctuary. Oh, that's powerful, church. We need to hang on to that. To say that God is true is the same thing as saying God is faithful. God's faithfulness means that because he is truth, everything he says and does is for certain. He not only advances and confirms that which is true, but in his faithfulness, he abides by his promise and brings every word he has spoken to pass. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Joshua 21:45 says this, not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. God's faithfulness this morning is not some minor or secondary part of his character. To say that God is faithful goes to the very core and essence of who he really is. God is 100% faithful 100% of the time, never a variation, because it is who he is. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift from as above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Do you know what that is? There's a scientific word that describes that very verse. It's called a parallax. What it means is there is no shadow. That means because there is no turning. There is no opportunity for something to get in the way. There is no difference. So on any, if you look at him in a 360-degree angle, if you look at him in all places, he always looks the same. There is no difference. He is who he is all the time. He does not change. What does it mean for God to be faithful? It means that there is a real reality to his faithfulness for us. Number one is he is faithful to the tempted. Isn't that wonderful? How many have ever gone through temptation? Don't raise your hand. We all go through it, don't we? To say you're not tempted is to say you're not alive. Because up until the very last breath you breathe, you will be tempted with something. Temptation is not a sin. It's just a tactic of the enemy. You say, well, what is he doing? He's trying to get your old nature that has been crucified with Christ. He's trying to get that back into action. He's a mad scientist that wants to try to dig around in a graveyard, put together something that God crucified. So how, well, what happens when we fall for it? Well, then you're helping him dig up the... So, well, that's not a very pretty picture. It's not supposed to be. But I like that. That's another... Sir, we're talking about his faithfulness now. He's faithful to the tempted. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, this does require a little bit of explanation, because this verse has been greatly distorted over the years, because many people will use this as a proof text to say that God will never give you anything more than you can handle, and that's simply not true. And he says, well, how do you know that? Because if you can handle it, you don't need God. Sometimes you just have to apply a little bit of logic, right? God wants us to be radically dependent upon him. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Our walk is a faith walk. Can you say amen? And so we cannot use this as a proof text to say that God will never give. We do, and we use that as comfort. People, especially that they're going through, when they're going through crisis, what we do is we look at them and say, well, you know what? God knew that you could handle this. Well, I beg to differ, because I'm not handling it. Amen? This is tough on me. This is beyond me. You know, there's days that I feel like I'm swimming directly over the Mariana Trench. Bottom is about 7.1 miles down with pressure that will squash me smaller than you can imagine. And I feel like, and God's going, you got this. I got this? I don't think so. He says, no, you forgot who's in you. See, that's the thing. God's in us. So what does this verse mean? He says, no temptation has overtaken you such as common to man. In other words, if you're going through it, so is someone else. If you are being tempted, so is someone else. You know what the funny thing about the devil is, and he doesn't like me sharing this because he always talks to me afterwards, but the thing is that the devil is not creative. How many know that? The devil does not have an ability to create, and so therefore he's kind of a one-trick pony is what he is. All of his workings, all of his stuff is rolled up into one thing called deception. He lies. Jesus gave us reconnaissance in John chapter 8, verse 44. He says that he is the father of lies. If he's talking, he's lying. Okay? Now, he can take truth and twist it enough to make truth a lie. It seems like it's good, but it's not. It's palatable. It's sweet when you eat it, but it turns bitter in your stomach because it's filled with lies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so the devil, all he can do is deceive. That's it. So when we come to this thing on temptation, he says, no temptation, you won't be overtaken, because all temptation is common, because there is no difference. It's we're all being tempted like that. But then God says, I'm faithful, because I will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. In other words, you are not going to be so taken by this temptation. You are not going to be so baffled by this temptation that it will blow you out of the water. He says, but I'm faithful, because I will make sure that you see it very clearly. And he says, and also with that temptation, I will provide a way of escape. In other words, I will equip you with everything you need, including a way out to overcome that temptation, so that you can bear with it. Now, again, that the wording here is it's like, well, I'm just gonna bear. No, so that you can overcome it. It's not just bearing with it, but that you could push it off. Let me ask you a question. If you're in the wilderness and a bear comes on you, it's not like, oh, okay, we're gonna have a bad day. No. It's going to be a really, really, really bad day. And you better run. Or climb a tree. Or if you're with somebody, outrun them. God is faithful to the tempted. He is faithful to the fallen. Let's say you blow it in your temptation. If we confess, John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, at the point of salvation, you were forgiven. Past, present, and future. You were forgiven. It was done. But from time to time, we blow it. We trip up. We make mistakes. Can you say amen? But we can go back to Him in that moment and reassure and realign the forgiveness that has already been given to us is still there. He is faithful to the defeated. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, even when we are too weak to have any faith left. This has got to be encouraging to somebody today. He remains faithful to us and will help us, for he cannot disown us who are part of Himself. And He will always carry out His promises to us. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means it is just as difficult for you to cut off your own arm as it is for God to cut you off from Himself. Why? Because you are a part of Him. I promise I'll never do this. But imagine, as if you were coming in the door today, instead of getting our little weekly thing, you all got pocket knives. It's like, where is he going now? I promise we won't do it. And then, in the middle of my sermon, I said, okay, I want everybody to pull out your pocket knife and I want you to cut your pinky off. You don't use it much anyway. You could still grab, you still could pinch and grab, and you don't need that pinky. What do you need the pinky for? Just cut it off. It's taking up space. You got to pump blood into it. It's got to be fed, and you know, it's just using up resources. Cut it off. There's no one here except maybe a couple really crazy people. But I don't even believe you're here, Tom. I'm looking around the room. Don't even, let me see. No, you're not here. There is nobody that would do that. Nobody would arbitrarily just, even if you were mad at your pinky, even if your pinky wasn't cooperating, maybe you had one of those pinkies that, you know, went sideways like that. You know, it's just not cooperating. I don't like it. It gets in the way. It doesn't fit in my glove real well, and it's kind of ugly. Anybody got an ugly pinky? Don't hold up your hand. Anyway, you know, the reality is we wouldn't cut it off. It's just as hard for us to do that as it is for God to cut us off. Because He's faithful. Even when we're weak and failing and faithless, He remains faithful. Matthew 12:20 says, He will not crush those who are weak or quench the smallest hope until He brings full justice with His final victory. You say, you look around and you go, all that it seems left in my life is a smoldering wick. God says, that's enough for me to work with. I'll breathe upon that and I'll make you a raging fire. Well, I feel like I'm a broken reed. I've been bruised. I've been hurt. You don't understand what's been done to me. I don't. But He does, because He was there with you. And He carried that pain on His cross. And He says, I won't quench you, and I won't cast you away. He is faithful to finish the work that He started in you. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is committed to seeing it through. He is committed to seeing the image of Christ fully developed in you. He's faithful to every generation. What does that mean? He's faithful to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-grandchildren. As a father and as a grandfather, I know what it feels like sometimes to worry about your children. To look at them and say, you know, are these things happening? Is this coming together? Is this working? Is this, you know, where are they at? And to worry about that. And the thing that I have come to grips with is that he loves my children and my grandchildren more than I can even imagine. And because of his word, he will be faithful to them. He's faithful to me, and he will be faithful to them. In our text, it says he is faithful who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. As I close today, I want to tell you a story about God's faithfulness, and probably more than that, about a perception of God's faithfulness. There was a lady by the name of Gladys Allward, and she served as a missionary in China before World War II. And when the Japanese army invaded northern China, she was forced to flee the city that she was in, and she took with her 100 orphans. And as she led the orphans into the mountains, things got rough. Things got very difficult. And she began to believe that they were never going to make it to safety. And after a night of sleeplessness, 13-year-old girl reminded her about Moses parting the Red Sea. And Gladys said, "That's wonderful, but I'm not Moses." And the little girl looked at her and says, "That's okay. God is still God." Let me say this to you as I close. God is still God, and he is always faithful. Can you say amen to that? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you, God. We thank you so much for this word. We thank you for the truth of your word, the revelation of this word. Father, we ask today that you would cause this word to be engrafted upon our hearts, God. And I wonder today if every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're here and you'd say, "You know what, Pastor, I don't know Jesus is my Savior. I've never asked God to come into my life or to forgive me of my sins. I've never really walked with him. I don't know anything about this, but I've listened to your word today, and I want what you talk about. I want to know his faithfulness. I want God in my life." If that's you, would you lift up your hand all across this place if you need Jesus in your life? Amen. Amen. Would you pray this prayer with me, all of you? Would you say, "Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, to be my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen." Praise God. If you prayed that, that is such a wonderful thing today. Let us know. I'm going to ask our prayer team if they would come up, our prayer ministry team if they would come up. And if you prayed that for the first time or whatever, just come up and let somebody, one of these, know. Just let them know. Say, "I just gave my life to Jesus." They'd love to pray with you and help you and encourage you. For the rest of us, let's stand to our feet. We're going to let you go today. God bless you. You guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you next.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.